Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. These are increasingly challenging times, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends. Please join us on Facebook and Twitter to help spread the word. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, a full line of herbal tinctures, Coco Mojo, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to www.survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts. Or call them at 866-762-9238. 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, May 31st, 2011, the year of our Lord. And my friends, tomorrow begins the month of June. So what is in store for the citizens of this world, of this planet, of America, in the month of June and beyond? The stories are still to be written. There's going to be crazy weather arriving in this country. There's going to be crazy weather continuing in the rest of the world. The droughts will continue. The heavy rains will continue. The black tornadoes will continue. The U.S. economy will continue to hibernate, and eventually an ELE will visit the United States dollar. An ELE, an extinction level event. That story is still in play. That story is still coming, and that story will be arriving. The housing market has had new reports that the numbers are down. Historical numbers are visiting the housing market. The values of real estate nationwide continue to plummet. Jobs are still down. Unemployment continues to climb. The police state continues to evolve. Europe is imploding. The Fukushima reactors continue to poison and erupt their radiation into the air. War is facing us in the Middle East. Israel and Iran are very close to a new war. So what are we to do, folks? I read these stories. I share these stories. I recite these stories of our present situation. It's doom overload. But can we just forget it? Can we stick our head in the sand and pretend that everything is back to the normal that we once had in the 90s or the 80s? My friends, unfortunately, this is the new normal. The new normal stories that will make us gasp. Stories that will bring tears to our eyes. Stories that will shake us. Stories that will make us wonder what's going on and what's the answer. Next year, we're going to have an election. We're going to vote on a new president here in the United States. Or actually, let me rephrase that. There is going to be the appearance of an election, because now we have all learned that the black box voting machines tally the results according to a predetermined appointment. So who's going to be the president in 2012? Is Obama going to continue his happy time of playing golf and staying on top of things as he visits the world and shows that he is the Lone Ranger of America? The lone voice that is doing things according to his heart's desire and not the desires of Americans? Is it going to be Obama, or is it going to be somebody else? Is it going to be Sarah Palin? Is she going to come back from behind? Or is it someone that hasn't even announced themselves? You know, folks, I remember in 08, Governor Rick Perry from Texas attended the Bilderberg meetings, and I wonder, was he given his appointment? Was he told that he was in the future? Was he told to just sit back and act like a tough Texan doing his own thing, but eventually he was going to throw his name into the hat? I wonder about that, folks. Right now, Rick Perry seems to be doing a lot of things that do not go with the tide of federal policy. Is Rick Perry satisfied with that, or is he going to be a candidate? I don't know. But the future is going to be very interesting. I know a lot of Christians got excited when Sarah Palin was running because she said that she was a Christian and she ran alongside John McCain. Mr. McCain recently has placed a new legislative bill to be examined, which will essentially give Obama the green light to declare a war against an enemy with no face, a war against the terrorists, against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and anyone that supports them or has been rumored to support those organizations. This legislation says that the United States government will fight them endlessly. So now we have an enemy without a face. And that's why I said several weeks ago when apparently and supposedly, which was not true, Osama bin Laden was captured, killed, and dumped into the sea, that was going to start a new chapter of police state measures. Folks, the freedoms continue to erode before our very eyes. And how many of the average citizens walking in the shopping mall today are worried about that? How many of the citizens that consider themselves free and brave are concerned with the direction this nation is headed? Not many. And that's why, my friends, ever continual vigilance is required of us, of you, the listener to this program, of you. You have awakened to what time it is, and I congratulate you for that. My friends, continue sharing the warning message with your loved ones, with your friends. It's not an easy task. It's not easy to tell people that what they once thought as the norm was a facade and not true. It's not easy. Many of you will be mocked and scoffed and scorned, laughed at, defriended. But folks, stay vigilant. Continue to share these messages with your loved ones and your friends. Continue to sound the alarm. Every one of you are going to be able to reach people that no one else can reach. You have friends that I will never reach. You have friends that others will never reach. So my friends, do not give up with that challenge. Now, as I said a few moments ago, tomorrow begins the month of June. And I find it interesting that this year of 2011 has begun with great destruction from the tornadoes. Deadly tornadoes, record-breaking tornadoes have ravished the land, have peeled the land, have plowed the land of America, have left many mourning and sighing and full of grief. And now, tomorrow, we begin the season of hurricanes. We're going to add that to the list of the quote-unquote doom events that are going to face many of us. The American Atlantic and the Central Pacific begin hurricane season from June the 1st through the end of November. And in light of that, my friends, I have to wonder what's in store. What's coming this hurricane season? Right now, we're in the days of shaking. We're in the days of rage, perilous sights. The preemptive events of the end of time are what are upon us. And to all of the people that wonder, my friends, we are not in normal days. These are the end times. What will the end times look like? All we have to do is look around. And those with open eyes can see them. Unfortunately, those that are blind are going to continue to walk within their herd and bump into one another. Those that are blind will lead each other along their chosen path of destruction and into a ditch or over a cliff, into the dark room of what's going on. Some of those that are blind may ask that question, but only after they are in their own personal emergency do most people ask that question. And last week I shared that those that are in darkness will not understand. Many of them are going to curse God as they face the trials of life and the trials of the events facing all of us. Or perhaps they may do something else. Perhaps they may call out to God for his ambulance service, but pay him no heed. In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 6, and if you have a pen and paper, write this down, my friends, and when you have a chance, look it up and look what it says. Hosea 11:6. Because of their own counsels, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that people have been backsliding since the beginning of time. Hosea was written a long time ago. And since the beginning of time, the people that know better, the people who understand who God is and who know who God is, are still tempted to wander. And they're still tempted to do their own thing, tempted to forsake the laws written in their hearts. And my friends, here's a question. How many today amongst the people of God are backslidden? How many listeners within the sound of my voice are in this condition? These things need to be talked about, especially right now. And as we continue reading in Hosea 11, in verse 7, it says, though they cry and call to the Most High, none at all exalt Him. Now, what does that mean? That means that oftentimes people will get into an emergency situation and they'll call out to God for help. That's normal. Pray and call out to God. Your child's in the hospital, call out to God. There's a tornado coming, call out to God. The hurricane may come to your city, call out to God. According to this passage, many call out to Him, to the Most High, but none at all exalt Him, worship Him. Their dedication, submission, none at all will repent to Him. And I have seen these type of stories with my very eyes, folks. During the recent drought in Texas, I've seen some announcements made in drought-stricken parts of the South. Announcements are made by city councils, by mayors, by governors. Assemble the people. We have to pray to God for rain. So on this date, at this particular time, everybody come to this church, come to this building, come to this location, and we're going to pray for rain. Amen. Everyone give a clap and a shout for the governor that would ask everybody to pray. Give a salute to the mayors and the city managers and the city councils that would ask for rain in prayer. But according to Hosea 1:7, it's saying that God is summoned so many times for our emergency needs, but He's so often ignored for our spiritual needs. Many of you have seen this with your very eyes. How many have ever thought about what backsliding looks like? Hosea says, my children, my people are bent on backsliding. What does that look like? Here's one way to picture it. It's like a car that is moving forward on a hill, on a chosen path, on a dirt road. And the hill starts to be inclined upward. It starts to go up. It starts raining. And eventually that dirt road begins to get muddy. Why? Because unmaintained roads are muddy, my friends, and they're full of mire. In my last few messages, I've been talking about the path that God has placed before all of us. The path that is before you. Every one of us are on a path. Some of us are on the path of destruction, and some of us are on the path to life. But that path must be maintained, my friends. It must be taken care of. It must be kept clear of distractions and obstacles. And that's up to us to keep it clear. Unfortunately, many times, because of temptations, because of bad choices, because of acting human, the path gets ignored. And the miry clay takes over the path, and potholes will fill that path. The mire of sin, the mire of bad actions and regretful choices will take over that path and make it muddy and slippery. So as the vehicle continues to move uphill on the path, eventually, because it's wet and it's muddy, the tires will begin spinning and losing traction, and the vehicle will start slowing down, and the wheels will continue to spin, and eventually the vehicle will come to a halt, even though the wheels are spinning forward, and it will start rolling backwards. Happens slowly at first, and then it starts to gain speed, and then steering becomes difficult because now trying to maneuver a vehicle that is actually rolling backwards in slippery mud. It's not easy controlling the direction when the wheels are spinning forward, but the vehicle is rolling backwards in a slippery slope of miry clay and mud. Eventually, my friends, there's going to be a crash. Eventually, that vehicle will find itself in a ditch. It will find itself hitting a tree or find itself hitting someone else. Sometimes that vehicle may even find itself going over a cliff. Now, this situation sounds a little scary and challenging, but my friends, the real thing is even more challenging, and it should strike all of us with fear. And I have to talk about this. Why? Because Before I started this program, I was seeking God. And I said, God, what do you want me to mention? What do you want me to talk about? And the Holy Spirit laid this on my heart. Hosea 11:6-7 is in play right now, my friends. The children of God, the people of God are bent on backsliding. How many people attend churches today that are sliding backwards? And they say, I'm holding on to the steering wheel. The accelerator is down. It's going forward. But the vehicle is actually going backwards. How many people are in that situation and they don't even realize it? You know, folks, many people may find themselves in turmoil. Many people find themselves facing epic battles, facing life-changing difficulties. And during these situations, we cannot afford to be sliding and slipping on our path, my friends. And also, we cannot afford to only have the limited attitude, the limited devotion, the limited commitment, where we can call upon God for help, but still we will not exalt Him and worship Him in our hearts. My friends, there are many among us that are facing epic battles. We need to be where we're supposed to be as we face these things. But are we ever where we're supposed to be? You know, folks, are we ever there? Are we in that place that pleases God entirely and there's no room for improvement? Is there a time when we can be where our thirsty soul is actually totally satisfied to never want more? You know, the old evangelist Smith Wigglesworth, he used to preach in the early 1900s. He used to have a saying that he would share with people. He used to say that he was satisfied with an unsatisfied satisfaction. What that meant was he was always wanting more of God. He was always hungry for more of God. Even though he prayed constantly, he was a man of great prayer. According to some of the biographies on Smith Wigglesworth, he prayed every hour for a few minutes, sometimes for 5, 10, 15 minutes out of every hour of the day. He would stop what he was doing and seek God. Why did he do that? He did it because he was hungry for God. And my friends, during this season that we're in, we need to be dealing with some things. We need to be dealing with the inner secrets, the inner shadows. How many of us, even right now, find ourselves battling those dark shadows of depression, those voices that come in the night, those thoughts that come and overwhelm with burdens of sadness, of great vexation? How many of us deal with those things? How many are dealing with tolerant habits? So many out there are vexed with sadness and worries and fears, my friends. And I find myself burdened with this. This is a need that I pray to God and I say, God, these people are burdened down, and what can I share with them so that they can overcome? My friends, I get many emails from a lot of you and you share these things with me. Many of you are depressed and you're overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. What do we do? You want out of it. You want it to be over. You want victory, and many of you wish that you could overcome, but how do you do that? What do you do? This has been on my heart, folks, and right now I'm working on my newer messages, 163 and 164. God has placed two new messages on my heart that are going to talk about these things. Both of them are going to be touching, and their purpose is to help those of you that are hurting. My friends, so many of God's people right now need healing in their hearts. So many of you have wounds. And I want to share for a moment, what are we supposed to do when we have those wounds and we don't know what to do? Folks, I know that this battle is never ending. And as the storms increase and as they arrive and shake our lives, we're going to be facing never ending challenges. And you're going to need to be able to rise above it. I know that many people are asking why right now. Many people are saying, enough already. God, enough. I can't take anymore. Many have said, why me, God? Many want to know, why me? Some people are even saying, if only. My friends, all of these symptoms point to a similar thing. God is purging His church right now. God is purging His people right now. It says in scriptures that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And we can read in the book of Revelation when Jesus finally arrives, in Revelation 19, it tells us the bride has made herself ready. She's made herself white, wrinkle free. My friends, how does that happen? Is it done by a proclamation? I proclaim that I am made white, without temptation, without struggles. I am now an overcomer. Folks, it cannot happen just with a proclamation. In order to be purged and made white, refinement has to occur. In order for a metal like gold and silver to be refined, it has to be purged in great heat. It has to be in the forge, in the oven of God, plummeted into heat. It has to have blast of flames upon it to burn off the impurities. My friends, that is what's happening right now. The church is being purified right now. And while this is going on, we have to have our eyes open and understand for those that are going through a purging or a purifying. And if those people do not understand and realize that this is the will of God to be purged and purified, then the enemy can come in and vex them with thoughts of self-destruction, calamity. You're a loser. The only reason you're going through this is because God is tired of you. He's had enough of you. You've already exhausted your chances with God. Folks, the enemy will come in and he will accuse. He will lie. He will whisper things that aren't true into your heart. So my friends, it takes understanding to realize that those are lies from the enemy. And when you're depressed and you're down and you're hearing these thoughts, my friends, you need to have the strength, the light, to understand that this is also a part of the battle. Satan did this to Jesus. Jesus went out into the wilderness and Satan whispered to him lies. So if temptation was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, my friends. But you have to be an overcomer. We have to learn that this is a battle we're going through. My friends, unfortunately, I'm not giving license to sin, but unfortunately, at times, you will stumble. You may find yourself falling down. You may find yourself overwhelmed and overcome, and the temptation did overcome you, and you yielded. But my friend, that doesn't mean give up. That means get back up and wipe the dust off your knees and off your body and stand back up and start seeking God. This is the battle that we're in right now. And the symptoms of all of the events happening in our lives do point that purging is happening, folks. A lot of you may have loved ones. You may have children. You may have relatives, siblings, parents that are also going through great struggles and great battles. And it hurts you to see them going through it. You wish that you could stop these things that they're going through. You wish that you could rescue them. But my friends, one thing to consider is that God may be purging them. And even though it hurts you as a parent to see your children hurting, just pray for them. Give them encouraging words. Help to illuminate what's going on in their lives and explain to them what's happening. And that's why, my friends, we're all called ourselves to be an example and to have the knowledge of what's going on so that we can minister to others. Folks, the purging of the church is not an easy thing to witness. It's not an easy thing to go through. It's painful. It's full of many tears. Purging and pruning means that the holy shears of God will be taken and actually clip our branches. And on the second half of this program, I'm going to continue talking about this. So my friends, don't go away. We'll be right back.
We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world. And they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Enerfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Enerfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, May 31st, 2011. And before the break, I was talking about some solemn things. I was talking about this serious situation that is facing all of us. My friends, in the midst of all of this bad news, there is an explanation on why it's happening. And I know that some of you may be asking and saying, you know, I tuned in to Survive to Thrive because I want to hear about the New World Order. Nathan, give me the news. I want the information of what's happening, what I'm facing. Well, let me summarize it for you, my friends. Real quick, here it is. Doom, 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 destruction, police state, judgment upon the land, great challenge upon every one of you. Now, that's what we're facing. The next question is, how are we going to face it? How are you going to face it? How are you going to navigate what's coming? And what words will you share with your friends and loved ones that find themselves confused and wanting some counsel? What are you going to tell them, folks? Today, we need our light shining now more than ever. We need our lamps full of oil so that people can see that you have the answer. The answer comes from the scriptures. The answer comes because we have a relationship with the creator of the universe, who has given us some hints that these days would arrive at the end of time. And now that we're here, we need answers from him, my friends. So again, as I was sharing before the break, God is shaking his church. He's purging his church. And the purpose of the purging is so that the church can be made white. What does this entail? It's different for every one of us. All of us have things in our lives that shouldn't be there, things that we've tolerated, parts of our personality that have become ingrained into us, and we've justified it by saying, well, that's genetically the way I am, or that's the way God made me. I'm Irish. Of course I have that attitude. I'm this. I'm that. That's why I act that way. You know, folks, instead of making the excuse that genetics gave us our temperament, it may be possible that our temperament is only in existence inside of us because we've allowed it to stay there, and because we haven't dealt with those parts of us. You know, I find it real interesting that a lot of Christians who go to church and call themselves children of God are very unpleasant when challenged. They exhibit a lot of pride when you challenge them. Most Christians today, I find, who get online and make blogs, who get on forums and will make postings and threads, will feel free to give their opinion, but if challenged, a lot of times, an unfortunate part of the temperament comes out. It's not easy being corrected. It's not easy being humbled. It's not easy not having the last word. You know, folks, as I examine the condition of the church today, and of course, I'm limited to what I can see, but I say this because I have a forum. Those of you that don't know this, I do have a forum. It's not easy to get into my forum. You have to go through a screening process. But when people get into my forum and they talk to one another, I notice people forget. They're supposed to exhibit fruit. People forget they're supposed to be an example to the world. The world reads what they say. And based on the activity that I see in my forum, and it's not just mine, I see this in a lot of forums throughout the internet. I see it on Tree of Liberty. I believe Steve Quell had a forum for a while. A lot of people have tried having forums. And here's the unfortunate part, my friends. The remnant, the people who know about the New World Order, will go to forums and consider themselves Christians, but in retrospect, when you see how they act like a bunch of jerks to one another. Yes, that's right, folks. Many of you that are listening at one time or another have been jerks to your fellow man, to your fellow Christians. This is unfortunate. Nathan, those are strong words. Don't insult me. I'm sorry, my friends. This is what I see. And when people act like jerks to one another, I have to contact them and ask them to behave and to be nice. And then, privately, I get griped out. How dare you tell me how to act? My friends, this is what God has to work with right now. Christians behaving badly. I've said this several times in the past, but I continue to bring it up because I continue to see it. If we call ourselves the body of Christ, why are we acting like jerks to one another? I see people talking about survival communities. I'm going to start a community to go live together. We're going to grow food together. We're going to support one another. We're going to live just like the book of Acts. But you know, folks, when I see how these people act on forums, most of those people wouldn't last 5 minutes in a lot of these survivalist communities. Why? Because they're jerks. They don't exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus looks down from heaven and he sees that there is a great lack of love in the church of Jesus right now, in the body of Christ. How many times did Jesus talk about loving your brethren? They will know that you're a Christian by your love. How often is love cited in the New Testament? Over and over and over. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not curse your brethren. Bless them. Curse not. I read about that in 1 Peter. Paul talks about it constantly in the love chapter of Corinthians. I see it in John, 1 John. It's throughout the scriptures, my friends. But there's a lack of love. Why is there a lack of love? Here's why, my friends. Because a lot of people do not like being corrected. And they have a lot of bitterness in their hearts. They have things that they have done in their lives that have made them disappointed with themselves. They have unforgiveness, broken relationships. They've done things that they're not proud of. And a lot of bitterness is in the body of Christ right now, folks. I hate to say it, but this is true. And it's visible. It's very easy to see. And that, my friends, is why God needs to purge all of us. All of us are guilty. I've said this over and over on this program. I am not feigning innocence, my friends. I know that I have been a jerk one time too many myself. I'm not innocent. None of us are innocent. We have all done things that we regret. And that's why God wants to purge all of us. God wants to cleanse all of us. God wants us to cleanse the past parts and not ignore them. Folks, the only way that this is going to happen is when we face these inner demons, these inner disappointments. Bitterness has been in existence too long in the lives of God's people. And I'm going to be talking about this in several sermons that I'm working on right now. But as I talk about this, my friends, I'm going to have to talk about some situations and bring some things to the surface that we do not want to visit. It's no fun looking in the mirror and seeing that, wow, I was a jerk to my son yesterday. I was a jerk to my wife. I was a jerk to my boss, my pastor, my fellow Christian. I need to fix that. I said some things that were wrong. Folks, it says in the scriptures, God is going to examine the tree and see if it bears fruit. The trees that have no fruit, by the way, what is no fruit? Being a jerk constantly, that's no fruit. And the trees that have no fruit, God is going to take the axe and chop it down and throw it into the fire. We cannot afford not to have fruit right now. Fruit is a very, very important part of our Christian walk that is ignored and has been ignored for too long. So my friends, I bring these things up as an introduction on why purging is happening right now. Many of us have tears and say, God, why? Why is this happening? Why did you take my car away? My car was awesome. It was shiny. People admired and envied me because I had my car and you took it away. You let it get repoed. Well, perhaps it happened because our pride got in the way and God saw that our car was a source of pride. You see, folks, whatever the material thing is in our lives that is hindering a fruit from growing on our tree, God's going to strip that thing right away and he's going to prune that branch. And for some of us, it's going to take having a car repoed. For some of us, it's going to take having a lot of our wealth destroyed and vaporized. Whatever the source of self-confidence that limits the fruit in our lives and restricts the fruit from growing, God, in his infinite wisdom, because he loves us, my friends, is allowing these things to happen. This is a hard message, but John the Baptist said he will purge his floor, his threshing floor. God is allowing this shaking to realign our focus, my friends. And many of us have lived our lives with the things of God out of focus. And now it's the time to focus on him and on the condition of our soul. And a lot of people will say, Nathan, I think I'm pretty good. I don't think I'm that bad. In fact, I think that most people are basically good. I think that most people have good hearts. And you know, folks, I know that that's what the world preaches, but that's not true. Men's hearts are deceitful and wicked. And for too long, the pulpits of America and of the West have tolerated the darkness in men's hearts. They have not focused on the darkness that's inside of all of our hearts. The fruit that's inside of us, the evil fruit of the flesh, has not been talked about. We have not been told to yank those things out of our lives. So God's doing it for us, my friends. And He is allowing those of us that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear to know that this is happening and to receive it. It's not easy to receive, my friends, but we're living in the days of great darkness. And it is time for the children and the people of God to become separate, to separate ourselves from Babylon and the ways of Babylon, the teaching of Babylon, the entertainment of Babylon. You know, folks, just yesterday I was looking at some news reports and I came across the story that over the Memorial Day weekend, which by default should be a somber day of reflection for the fallen. But guess what happened over the weekend, folks? Hollywood shattered records over the weekend. Now, based on this shattered record, I have to ask myself this question, my friends. How many people care? How many Americans really care what time it is? How many even know what time it is? And aside from the average citizen that is not a child of God, how many Christians care what time it is right now? How many understand what separation actually means? Over the weekend, Hollywood set a new record for a release of a comedy. Hangover Part 2 made $130 million over the weekend. $130 million, folks, during a depression here in America. A lot of those unemployed people, a lot of the people on food stamps, a lot of Christians that had nothing better to do decided to get into their car and drive to the theater and watch a movie called Hangover 2. Now, why am I bringing this up and why am I bothered about this? Here's why, folks. Because that movie is about some men acting like pigs, acting like frat boys who are immature and find humor with homosexuality, find humor with men having sex with transsexuals. When I saw what this movie did, I Googled the review for this movie and it kept coming up. Review after review said that in that movie, it had men having sex with transsexuals. It said that male genitalia is shown apparently on this program. And also apparently 100 F-bombs are in this movie. My friends, how can a movie that is a pile of dung, how can a movie that is an entertainment turd be a record-breaking movie for Hollywood? How can it be that a movie that is dung is that attractive to Americans right now? Apparently it was, folks. Here in America, the Christian nation, apparently people like entertainment excrement, and they pay good money to see Hollywood's rendition of a pile of vomit. You see, folks, here in pagan Babylon America, vomit sells. This is how low we have come. A transsexual will appear on a big screen, have sex with another person, and that's funny. And people can sit there and be entertained with it. And I can hear some people saying, come on, Nathan, lighten up. Folks, you want me to lighten up? Why? Because America has proven to now be a nation of bottom dwellers? Is that what I should lighten up about? Who enjoy being entertained with gay humor? My friends, the indoctrination continues. Hollywood is showing the gay agenda and shoving it down our throats. And they vomit out garbage movies with the stench of disgusting rot, masquerading as entertainment. And like a herd of lemmings, the American public went to a Hollywood porta potty and enjoyed having the contents of the porta potty of today's theater culture poured over them. Folks, how low have we become as Americans? But that's where we are. Our teens are a generation of pagan children without the fear of God and instead find themselves wanting to be entertained with this garbage. This is where we are right now, my friends. We are now in the land of nobody cares. And I wonder in that statistic of $130 million, how many Christians actually went and sat through that garbage? How many of you went and sat through that garbage? If you did, shame on you. Shame on you for staying there. Shame on you for not getting up and leaving. Shame on you for not asking for your money back. If you were caught off guard and didn't know, But if you can sit there and justify this, shame on you. And again, this is why we have allowed ourselves this appointment. Because in the hand of God right now, my friends, there is a cup. And that cup is boiling. It's boiling over with the deeds and the iniquities of this land. It's boiling over because the people who call themselves Christians are so bent on backsliding, as Hosea 11:6 said. And because people who call out to God, call out to Him, but do not worship Him. Now, there was an alternative at the movie theaters, and this movie is also shattering records. I saw this in that same report. The alternative was the children's 3D animation movie called Kung Fu Panda Part 2. Nathan, that's an innocent child's movie. Yeah, I guess the story might appear innocent on paper, but it stars the very confused, dark hater of God, hater of Jesus Christ Messiah, hater of Christians, Jack Black. And how many Christians invested in Jack Black's retirement fund? Nathan, what's wrong with Jack Black? Oh, you don't know. Well, let me remind you. Jack Black made a spoof several years ago playing Jesus in a mockery of the Bible. It was a skit called Prop 8 the Musical. And in there, he plays Jesus and he says that homosexuality is okay. The Bible is unreliable. It's confusing. Yes, that's right, folks. A lot of you who like Jack Black hates you if you're a Christian, and he mocks you. Also, in September of 2009, he got on TV at the MTV Video Awards, and he prayed to Satan. So, this is the disgusting enemy of God that Christians throng to see. Folks, we are indeed living in very dark days. And in these dark days, it's time for us to raise the standard. It's time for you and your personal life to say enough is enough. I've had it with this garbage. Even though you dwell in Babylon doesn't mean you have to partake of it. Why is America in turmoil right now, my friends? Well, I just mentioned one tiny episode of why. They call for help, but they do not worship. And here in America, Christianity and God are taboo only until there's an emergency and there's an appeal to Him for rescue. But how many appeal to God for heart surgery? For the missing element. My friends, your survival is impossible without spiritual heart surgery. So how do we do spiritual heart surgery? I get a lot of emails from many of you and you say, I need God. I need to get a hold of Him, but I don't know how. I need prayer. I don't know what to do. And my friends, for those of you that are calling out to God, that are hungry and want to change, I have a burden for you, my friends, and I am praying for you. I do pray for those requests. But aside from that, my friends, you need to be given a spiritual fishing pole so that you can get a hold of God on your own, so that you can know how to move forward, so that you can have the strength to maintain your road, so that your road is not slippery as it goes uphill, and so that your vehicle doesn't slide backwards. If you happen to be new to this program, my website is watchmanscry.com, and you can go to the audio page, and I have many, many audio sermons that talk about these things, that talk about how you can get a hold of God. But in the last remaining minutes of this program, I want to share real quickly how a person can seek God and get a hold of God. You know, folks, I cut my teeth in the Assembly of God denomination 30 years ago, and some Assembly of God churches may still continue in the way that they began, but unfortunately, there are some AG churches that they no longer appear the way that the AGs used to appear. What I mean by that is the movement of God seems to have limited itself. But I'm not here to knock the AGs, but what I'm trying to say is the thing that I did appreciate about the AGs was my pastor 30 years ago taught all of us how to get a hold of God. And when we would attend church on Sunday nights, he would call everybody to the front to get down on their knees and to pray, to linger at the altar and to cry out to God, to repent, and to just get a hold of Him, to encounter Him so that our needs could be met. So as a teenager, a young teenager of 17 years old who was newly saved, that's how I learned to get a hold of God. Unfortunately, in today's mega churches, the altar is gone. In a lot of churches, there are a lot of people that attend and they haven't really been trained to how do you seek God? How do you get a hold of God? So I wanted to just share what I do in my own personal devotion and take this information and try it for yourselves, folks. But step number one, whenever you want to get a hold of God and you need a touch from God and you need to encounter Him, it's very important that you get alone with Him. Meaning, you have to go into a bedroom or just be alone where no one's around. That means no intrusions. That means no interruptions. That means no distractions. Turn off the TV and dedicate the time to Him. So step one, get alone with Him. Step number two, get your Bible. You must have His Word, my friends. It will come alive when you're hungry enough for God. So have your Bible there with you. Go into your room, have a Bible, get on your knees. And number three, maybe even have a notepad or a pen and paper in case God shares some things with you. And write what He shares with you. Write them down. If there's some thoughts that He gives you or some goals or challenges, if you have any requests, insight, or revelation, write these things down. And then number four, maybe if possible, have a little radio or CD player that can have some worship music playing softly in the background. Have some solemn worship music. In the old days, we used to have the Maranatha praise music. They're not as popular anymore, but there's some newer stuff today. I like the old Maranatha stuff. But if you go into a Christian store and just look around for some praise music or ask for some good devotional music and listen to some samples and have that music playing, it always helps, my friends, to stir your heart and to soften your heart. So use it and then start to pray. Now, some people may say, well, I don't know what to pray about, Nathan. Well, if you don't know how to pray, and I understand that many people don't know what to say. So one thing that you can do is to turn to the book of Psalms and start in Psalms chapter 1 and just start reading verse by verse. And as you read each verse, just read one verse at a time and then pause. And whatever the verse is talking about, if it may apply to you, to your situation, make it a prayer to God and repeat the verse in a prayer and say, God, that's what I need. Read the verse and give it to God. God, that's me. I want that for me. Help me to get there. If the verse deals with sin or struggles or worries or fears, make it your prayer, my friends. By the way, folks, as you read the Psalms, please make note that the Psalms are written with passion. King David wrote many of the Psalms. And as he prayed the Psalms, he poured out his heart with tears and with earnest desperation, with intensity. And as you read the words in the Psalms, my friends, one at a time, just read each sentence and see that the intensity that David had. Let that intensity become your intensity. Make the heart's cry of David and the other psalmists become your heart's cry. And in the last remaining minutes of this program, I want to offer an example of one of the psalms that really blesses me. So if you have your Bible, please take your Bible and follow along, or you can pause this and go get your Bible and follow along. The psalm that I want to look at right now is Psalms 119, and Psalms 119 is God's grand slam. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. And when I say the longest, folks, it is the longest. It's 176 verses long. And I have it right here. And if you have your Bible, just open it up. And I can't read the entire Psalms, but I just want to go through a few verses of it and just show you how when you're reading the scriptures, God can really speak to you. I know that a lot of you may be a stranger to devotion and using the scriptures, but my friends, this is the Word of God. God gave this as His gift to us, so that we can get a hold of Him, so that we can know His heartbeat, so that we can know what He's thinking, His expectations of us, the standards that we should raise for ourselves. So turn to Psalms 119, and let's start with verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. It starts off by saying, blessed are those that aren't defiled. Now, what does that mean, folks? Right there, as we're reading that, and if we were praying this to God, if we were having a devotion time to God, and if I was reading that, I would say, God, I want to be undefiled. I want my heart to be cleansed. I don't want sin to separate myself from You in the way, in my path, God. As I walk in my journey toward heaven, as I walk in the journey of the years of my life, in the journey of me being an example to my children and to my wife, God, I want to be undefiled. And God, let me be able to be undefiled. Let me be cleansed. All the sins that I've committed, God, cleanse me so that I can be blessed. And it goes on and it says, who walk in the law of the Lord. God, may I walk in Your law. I dwell amongst an unclean people, God. I dwell here in Babylon. Folks, just think about that. Make it your prayer. God, I want to walk in Your law, but when I go to work, the people tell dirty jokes. They try to discourage me. They try to darken my soul and share things with me that I'm not supposed to hear. And God, even a few days ago, I did hear during lunch break, one of the people there said a dirty joke and I actually laughed. God, I wasn't walking in your lawn. God, forgive me. Forgive me when I did that. You see, folks, as you read the word, you will be prompted to deal with some things. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek them with the whole heart. God, your testimonies, your scriptures, I want to keep your testimony, but God, I know I failed you yesterday and earlier this week I failed you. God, I didn't keep them. God, help me to seek you. You said, blessed are those who seek you with their whole heart. God, I want to seek you right now with my whole heart. And God, the parts of me that do not want to seek you, the parts of my flesh that don't want to talk to you, God, help me to overcome that. God, kill that part of me. God, destroy that part of my flesh, God. And may my spirit get stronger and stronger so that I would want to seek you. Fill me with the hunger and the thirst to want to seek you with my whole heart. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they that walk in his way. Right there, folks, it says if we're walking in his way, we're not going to sin. God, how often do I walk in your way, but then I get sidetracked and I get off the path and I go to the left or to the right. And when I do that, I stumble, God. Lord, I don't want it to be that way, God. Give me the strength to stay on the path. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. God, you want me to keep your commandments. God, I want to keep your commandments. So give me the strength, God. I can't do this without you. Your word says that without you, I can do nothing. So God, help me to accomplish this. Help me to follow your commandments diligently. Give me the diligence, God, the inner strength, the inner wanting. God, the inner hunger. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look at all your commandments. Right there's a heart's cry. The psalmist wrote this because they knew that they themselves from time to time stumbled. Even though they didn't want to stumble, even though they're making the proclamation, God, I want to follow your path. It says right there, God, if my ways were directed, then I wouldn't be ashamed. So they knew what shame was. And folks, all of us know what that shame is like. God, when I look at your word, and I see what you expect of me, but I know that I didn't accomplish it. I know that I didn't fulfill it. I know that I ignored it and forgot it and went against it. God, I am ashamed of myself, God. My head looks down in shame, God. Oh God, I am undone. When I look at your word and I see that I have not walked accordingly, I have shame, God. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, wash me clean. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Let me not be ashamed because I failed. God, I overreacted with my loved ones. I overreacted with my friends. I had anger. I was a jerk. I was rude to others. I was rude to my friend on the phone. I overreacted and I said things I didn't mean. God, I feel ashamed. Forgive me. You see, folks, let the word of God stir your heart to what's on your mind. And if you do that with an open heart, the Holy Spirit will come in to the room where you are and he will visit you and he will start prompting you and he will bring things to your heart that he wants you to deal with, to repent of. He may even tell you, you need to take care of some things. You need to make a phone call. You need to write a letter. You need to go meet with someone. You need to apologize. Folks, I was talking earlier about how so many Christians misbehave in the virtual world. And it shouldn't be that way. So folks, we need to start behaving better than we have in the past. And we need to have these things on our mind and on our hearts. We need to challenge ourselves to say, I am not going to do something I regret. I'm not going to say something I regret. I'm going to aim higher. I'm going to say no to myself. I'm not going to have the last word. I don't need to have the last word. I need to humble myself, as the Bible says, humble myself before the Lord and have the right attitude. My friends, the fruit is so, so very important. And if you happen to be a new listener and you haven't listened to a lot of my messages, right now I'm talking about the fruit. And folks, if we really started reading the New Testament through different eyes, and if we started noting how often fruit is mentioned, how often love is mentioned, how often the expectation of treating one another with love and patience and grace and mercy was talked about in the scriptures, and then if we compared it to how we've been acting, my friends, I believe that many of us would find ourselves disappointed with ourselves. But folks, disappointment is not something to just have a guilt trip over. Disappointment is something that should prompt us to repent of. It should prompt us to deal with these matters. And if you're a new listener and you haven't heard my audio sermon message number 158, The Glimpse of Eternity, The Basket, and The Book of Remembrance, I want to encourage every one of you that have not heard this message to go to watchmanscry.com and go to the audio page and download it. It's message number 158, and it talks about the fruit that God expects from us. And when the Holy Spirit gave me that message, He also gave me a vision. He gave me a vision of the people of God, all of us being judged for the fruit that we had or did not have. And the vision was terrifying when I saw it. It gave me a holy reverence for God. It gave me a holy fear and trembling for God and what He expects of us. So my friends, please go listen to that. It will really challenge, it will really encourage, and it will really help you to see. I really believe it'll help you to see the challenge of God in a new manner, in a new way. Also, I'm working on 163 and 164, and it's also going to be talking about the challenge of the fruit. So my friends, please be looking for that. Real quick, I want to say, if these messages have been encouraging you and if they're challenging you, my friends, please take it to God in prayer, because with your support, we will continue to do this journey and we will continue to operate and give messages that are helping the people of God during this time of darkness, refinement, and purging. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. My friends, I get behind this microphone because I have a burden for the backslider. For those of you that are struggling, for those of you that are slipping and sliding in the mire, there is hope for you. You can come back. You can come back stronger, more encouraged, and more useful to God. All hope is not lost. My friends, don't give up. Keep looking up. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.